A very good morning to you. Welcome into the programme. We don't have any job spots today, but I want to welcome, for Galway Thoughts today, I want to welcome MEP Chris McManus, Senator Sean Kyne, John Morley, who sits beside me here, and my good self. I'm welcoming myself. That's not a good sign, is it? Gentlemen, good morning to all of you. Thanks for joining us today. I'm going to start, first off, we have three subject matters we want to look at. Simon Harris. I take it, Chris McManus, you'll be looking for a general election. Is that the mantra from Sinn Féin?
Well, it's not the mantra from Sinn Féin. I just think it's an unprecedented situation where we're now having our third Taoiseach in a four-year period. And
what's wrong with that?
Well, as I said, I'll accept in the first two instances, Micheál Martin and Leo Varadkar were leaders of their respective parties going into the general election, but not in the case of Simon Harris. And I wish him well in his new endeavours, obviously. But as I said, when people are voting for TDs, they're voting for TDs and they know who the leader of their parties are. So in that instance, like, people voted for Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil TDs with the knowledge that potentially Leo Varadkar or Micheál Martin...
But I mean, are Sinn Féin not being disingenuous to yourself by calling for an election when you see the way you are in the polls at this stage?
Absolutely not. As I said, it's nothing to do with where we are or where we aren't within the polls. I think it's just right at a time, as I said, to be going into an unprecedented third Taoiseach in 4 years, nearly akin to what you're seeing with the Tories in Britain over the last number of years. Regarding the polls, we're 10 points plus ahead.
But you've plummeted, though.
No, but it's
from a high.
We're still further where we were than at the last general election. If somebody had said to us going into the last general election we would be 10 points ahead of the nearest party, we'd have bit the hand off you.
Yeah. Are you cocky going into an
election? Absolutely not. I've been around a long time, Keith. When I first started, I had a full head of hair when I first got elected in 1999. And I've been around an awful lot of elections and referendums. There have been good days, there have been bad days, and tide goes in, tide goes out. We go into this which we obviously want, we think the people of Ireland, we know the people of Ireland want change. We think we can be that agent for change, that we can...
But are you going into it with IE? Of the opinion that next election you're in government?
Absolutely not. That at the end of the day.
Really?
Is at the will of the people. The last time round going into, and people are talking about polling several months out from the last general election, we were at 11% and we ended up at 24%. Okay. Things change during election. We all know that. So while we go into an election in good stead in comparison to when we've been in previous elections, we do accept that at the end of the day, there's only one day that counts, that's election day.
Sean Kyne, Senator Sean Kyne, I mean, the three leaders have agreed there is going to be no election for a year at least, or whenever it's going to happen from there. The current Taoiseach was on the news there talking about he would recall the Dáil if necessary. Do you think that the Dáil should be recalled to put Simon Harris in place as Taoiseach?
I think, first of all, Simon is a great guy, and assuming once the formalities are out the way, he's be elected as officially leader of Fine Gael. And
we have to wait to Monday do we?
Monday or perhaps earlier if the National Executive Council decides. I'm a member of that body. We have a meeting at 1 o'clock.
And so could you bring that date back?
We could possibly bring it forward if that's deemed to be necessary. As it stands at the moment, the Dáil will meet after the Easter break to elect a Taoiseach, and it is the Dáil that elects the leader, not an individual party. It is the Dáil. Three parties, and I'm sure, and I expect, and I hope that Simon Harris would receive support from other parties, or at least independents across the country as well. And that would be the mandate, because the Dáil is the mandate from the people in the 2020 election, and it is the Dáil that will elect.
But if he didn't get that, if he didn't get that support, we would then definitely have an election.
Yeah, that's the way it works. I mean, if a Taoiseach can't be elected in that case, so we'd anticipate election. But I don't see that. I mean, the
Could you get disgruntled independents and the independent Ireland and others, indeed, the far left and right and centre, whatever you want to call them, if they all came together for that, they could crumble this government?
Well, again, it's a numbers matter. As it stands at the moment, the three parties have a majority, and there are independents who are supporting government. And, you know, each independent will have to make up their own mind about who they want to support. But the issue here is that the other party leaders wish to see the programme for government the mandate that was received from that programme for government fulfilled on very important pieces of legislation like the planning bill, which is going through the Oireachtas committee at the moment, the housing committee. There are over 1,100 amendments. This is a vital piece of legislation to try and improve and streamline the planning process to build houses and to reduce the time it takes for developments to be processed.
Mm. The Taoiseach did say indeed that there's no scandals involved in all of this. Why are people not taking this at face value?
Look, it's an extremely difficult job. He's been at it for a period of time. He's had some, you know, great highs, and he's had some lows. And it's a tough job. And from listening to him at the parliamentary party and the motion when he stepped down, you know, it clearly it was a difficult decision. But he felt it was the right decision for the party and for the country, indeed.
Chris McManus, do you take it as at face value? That's why he's stepping down.
Absolutely, and I think, you know, in fairness, all of us who are involved in the political world, and we get it in all parties, there are times when colleagues, They know they've kind of got to the end of the road. They feel, you know, that the...
Like
the,
here in Cannon.
You know, and as I said, and I know you want to talk about that in regards to Fine Gael departures and the high level in a few minutes. But, you know, sometimes just the well just runs dry and you feel you don't have more to give. And I think if you don't have enthusiasm for the kind of work that we do, you know, it makes it much more difficult, you know, because I'm not going to start, you know, the difficulty of the hours of, you know, it's, we chose that.
Yeah.
We put our names in the ballot paper and we accept that. And there's, as Sean says, there are times when you get, you know, there's real positivity with what you do, and you see that you're able to affect change. And then sometimes you just see people that just say, I've had my fill of it. And I would assume that's probably what the instance is.
You have to respect that as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
John, you'll be looking at the numbers, and I mean, looking at some of the information that's been coming out. I mean, 17 hours a day the Taoiseach was working, 7 days a week, and you've been looking at some of the numbers there.
Yeah, and I think it's quite interesting, Keith, in terms of, if you look at both the two main parties in government, Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, and I suppose it's interesting to see with Fine Gael in particular that they're in this period of transition, but they're getting big names into it. We saw the likes of Nina Carberry. She's going to be running and looking to get the ticket there in Europe. So they are finding new people. And it's interesting, usually in the past, you might get people that would have worked their way up through local councils and then into the Oireachtas. So it's interesting that they're getting candidates, and it's worked for them in the past. If you think of Maria Welsh in this constituency in the last European elections, that she kind of came in, she called herself, I think, a parachute candidate, and came in and helped Fine Gael, because she obviously had that profile from the Rosa Tralee as well. So it's interesting, Fine Gael are in this period of transition, a big turnover of people. It remains to be seen, will the outgoing Taoiseach Leo Varadkar, will he himself run in the next general election? So there's a lot of question marks there, and a lot of the political ground is fairly transitioning for both parties. And we saw with the likes of Fianna Fáil, the likes of the resignation of Seamus Walsh during the week. So there's a lot of turmoil, I suppose, particularly if you look at the West of Ireland context. What we're hearing on the ground from party members is there seems to be a disconnect, we'll say, from the local levels of parties and the national level of parties. And we've seen that all the way back to the 2020 general election, where a lot of disgruntled Fianna Fáil members and Fine Gael members were saying that the party, by going into government together, had lost touch with their grassroots.
Sean, can I ask you, do you think will Leo Varadkar could go in his constituency again?
I'm not sure. I think you'd have to go back to, I would say, Gareth Fitzgerald and possibly Charlie Haughey, but I think we're the last two to actually go for another term after leaving the office of the Taoiseach. I may stand corrected on that. Inda Kinney
didn't go
for re-election again. So I mean, look, that's a decision you have to make. It's difficult when you consider going back to the backbenchers at that, but that's a decision for him. And
okay, Keith, could you please remind that Sinn Féin speaker, indeed, that is Chris McManus, he's an MEP, that Sinn Féin were out of touch with the people in the referendum. They were yes, the same as the government, and they all got hammered. So out of touch with the people.
Look, I think the referendum was it took its own turn in the last couple of
weeks.
But
you were yes, yes.
Oh, yeah, we were yes, yes.
And I have to say,
we were reluctant because we could understand the need to change what was, you know, archaic language within the Constitution. You know, we have to, at the end of the day, the government handled it quite badly in terms of the actual campaign itself and the information that was brought out. And you know, this thing of holding things on International Women's Day, you know, it grated with people. And there was quite a number of other issues. And look, referendums take a momentum of their own. We've seen it in the past.
But you're out of touch. You don't accept you're out of touch?
No, absolutely not. As I said, obviously with us at a fairly high number in the polls, quite a lot of people think we are in touch and we are the party that can bring change in government.
Coming back to you, Sean, on this one. John, you have other figures there for us as well, looking at them.
Well, I suppose if you look at the referendum and it took that turn, and the Care one in particular was the highest no voting in the history of the state. I don't know if that's indicative of where people are with government parties. We've seen governments getting hammerings in referendums in the past and then getting back into government come local or general election time. So it'll be interesting to see how that does play out. There is an air on the ground at the moment, and we might touch into it in terms of the referendums as well, the family one in particular, immigration. We've seen that become a wedge issue in the past few weeks.
Well, it's going to be a wedge issue when it comes to local elections.
It will be. And it's a lot of political commentators are saying that's part of the reason for the dip in support for Sinn Féin as well as government parties as well. And we're seeing independents and the likes of this Independent Ireland, who we'll be talking about in a few minutes, they seem to be sweeping and gathering a lot of that support.
Sean, can I come back to you? Because immigration really, you know, took your seat last time round.
There were a lot of factors.
That was
one of the issues.
But it's going to be a major factor when it comes to the local elections.
It will, and I've said in the Shannon, it will be, if John is here for the next 30 years in your seat, we'll be dealing with immigration. And who's ever here...
So it'll never go away, you're saying?
No, it is an issue because people want to come to the West... not just the west of Ireland, people want to come to the Western world, they want to come to Europe, they want to come to the United States, they want to go to Australia, they want to go to places where they see
it
a better life,
a new life.
And as Irish people did in the past. So it is going to be an issue, it'll be an issue from here to whenever.
Timbuktu,
The issue is, there are legal routes to come to this country. And we see them for healthcare staff and for other critical workers. There are illegal routes. And of course, we, government and the Dáil indeed, and Europe and the temporary directive made decisions to bring in Ukrainian refugees. And from time to time, there may be small numbers, whether it be Syrians or Afghans, that are brought in. But the biggest influx of people are people who come here illegally, but they come here claiming asylum. And about 2/3 of the people that arrive here are actually arriving across the border from the UK, from England. And if you look at the Tory government there for the last 13 years, they've effectively declared war on migration.
Yeah.
Hasn't made a blind bit of difference.
No.
They're still coming. They have campaigns, stop the boats. The boats are still coming. And when they're coming to the UK, they're coming here. We have a common travel area. We don't have a hard border, thankfully. All parties fought hard to ensure there was no hard border on the island of Ireland as part of the Brexit negotiations.
Are you saying we have to live with it then?
I'm not saying we have to live with it. I'm saying it's a reality. And it's easy to say it's a soundbite to say the inn is full and Ireland is full. Those are soundbites.
Yeah.
What's the solution? What is the solution? The solution, as far as we can see, is to ensure that there is a robust system, that there are...
Is it being enforced, though, Sean?
It is being enforced, but it is extremely difficult. With the numbers that are coming, as I said, 2/3 coming across the border, coming from the UK. So once they get to the UK, we have the common travel area since the foundation of the state. We have that free movement between Ireland and the UK. So it is an issue. And it is, as I said, sound bites are fine. What is the solution? What is the solution? We have raised this with ministers of justice, and they've tried to ensure that people are met immediately as they come off the plane, to ensure that documentation, that they have the documentation, that they're not, as you hear stories of people flushing documentation down the toilet, things like that, to ensure that people arrive in this country. Because if they board a plane, they have documentation, and people want to know that
why they suddenly don't have it.
There are systems in place. If you're claiming asylum, you have to be processed, you have to be photographed, fingerprinted, checked against Interpol, and if you're not accepted as legitimate, you have two options: you leave the country or you go on the black market.
Chris, can I bring you in there from MEP Chris McManus, from a Sinn Féin point of view? I mean, immigration. This is the big ticket item, be it for Europe or be it for the local elections.
Yeah, obviously it's going to be a major topic of discussion for the forthcoming campaign.
What's Sinn Féin's view on all of this?
Well, I think the first thing we need to recognise is that as a society, I don't think we hold broadly anti-immigration views. I think we our experience, the Irish experience, is one of having immigrated abroad. I myself am a London-born lad. You know, and came back here when I was a cub and was reared in Sligo. I think what we have to acknowledge, and as I said, I'm not here to score political points, but the process has been handled. You know, the government have got it wrong.
What differently would you do?
Well, I think what we have to look, you have to have a process that's fair, that's efficient, and one that's enforceable.
So you're saying the current process is not fit for purpose?
Well, the current process where you arrive into communities, you know, several days beforehand without any...
No, go back to the airports. I mean, Chris, once they get into the airport and get into the country, that's what we're talking about here. Is that process wrong?
No, the process where they will put themselves forward and, you know, apply for, you know, asylum-seeking status is one... that obviously we have to do it at the point of entry when they come in. But after that, it's how we manage it. That, you know, we need to have a system that, as I said, is fair, is enforceable, and it's efficient. And efficient, I think, is probably the one where there has been...
So can I ask you then, sorry to cut across your very briefly because I want to move on to independent, take a break in Independent Ireland. What different, if Sinn Féin were in power next month, what different way would you handle this?
Well, I think one of the other things...
A simple answer.
No, a simple answer, because I think one of the issues that has been conflated alongside and parallel is the fact of our housing crisis. And I think...
Is that for our own or for all?
No, I think the fact that we have a housing crisis in general has caused and has allowed certain elements to conflate this issue and to exacerbate and raise tensions within communities. I think what we just need to do is have a much more efficient, well-planned out system, one where that if we are going to have to engage with communities, we do it well in advance, we do it in conjunction and in partnership, rather than going in a matter of days beforehand and just dropping information on
communities. No, there's no winners in that. Stay with you if you don't mind. I'm joined by Sean Kine, Senator Sean Kine, MEP Chris McManus, John Morley. And we're with you until 12 midday. I'm going to take a short commercial break. We're looking at Independent Ireland next and Gaza too. Now I'm joined by MEP Chris McManus, Senator Sean Kine and John Morley. We're sitting and we're talking about, we're going to go away now from Simon Harris and DMB for this weekend. We see what happens later on in the day today. But Sean, can I ask you about Independent Ireland and that grouping? They have approximately 200 members already in the country. Are you worried that they will take that rural vote that would have or could get you elected?
Well, look, I wish them well, and particularly Michael Fitzmaurice, well, a certain amount of good luck. Not too much, but a certain amount of good luck.
A tempered good luck, I think you've got, yeah.
It's all part of the democratic process, although I have to wonder about being independent and in a party, but that's the model they've used. You're either independent or a party.
They felt that rural Ireland was left behind by the... mainstream parties.
That's a soundbite. Again, there's, you know, huge investment in rural Ireland. Rural Ireland is not just just farmers or whoever else. Rural Ireland is the whole fabric of the region. You know that is Athenry left behind? The level of investment is Mike Cullen left behind with investment? So I mean, we want to see, as I think all parties, you know, regional balance development. We can argue about whether that's been delivered or not, but I mean those are things. But look, it's important for the democratic process that there is choice. I know that, and we have to respect that. Anybody that's nominated will have a mandate, but at the end of the day, you know, you cannot have 39 independent councillors in Galway County Council or 160 odd independent TDs in Dáil Éireann. You're not going to get a cohesive government or policy there. So political parties, we'll all promote our own, but political parties are important in the process as well.
But Chris, they've formed to try and fill a void that they felt was there. So what's your reaction to that?
Well, in the first instance, again, like Sean, I think it's good that... we have a democratic process that allows people that space to put forward a viewpoint. And I always do think it's important that we hear as soon as possible when new political groups form a manifesto, a platform, You know, that has maybe some depth to it.
Yeah, we had the Progressive Democrats, and that didn't work, so it didn't.
Well, and the only reason I'm saying that is I recall a previous the general election for us, we had the Independent Alliance.
Yeah.
And the Independent Alliance really kind of seemed to turn out to be more a vehicle for a number of TDs just to try and have a grouping that would be cohesive to get into coalition and get a seat around the cabinet table and things like that. So I think it's important for people to get a sense of what their political parties are about, and how cohesive they are in terms of policies. I'm interested because my sense of is that the Independent Ireland are you know, to the right of where maybe Fine Gael are on the left-right spectrum, you know, somewhere around that same space that they're into as a group are. So that'll be interesting to see if they have similar platforms and are articulating similar matters, socially conservative.
Would you agree that Independent Right or a little bit Independent Ireland or little right of Fine Gael?
Well, look,
are they that close to you?
Fine Gael is a broad church, and we'll have to wait and see what viewpoint Simon Harris will take in relation to the future plans for Fine Gael. Certainly, you know, there's been a huge liberal influx over the last number of years on a range of issues, and not everybody agrees with those, but they are, you know, progressive policies that were implemented with wide support of the Dáil. So you're never going to satisfy everybody, and I suppose one of the difficulties that any party leader has is to try and keep all sides of a party together. Fine Gael would regard itself as a centre party, centre right party in tradition, but we've had a huge social democratic side as well.
But they are ready to go. They have somebody in each of the constituencies for Europe, so they have Chris. They also have TDs ready to go, and they have councillors ready to go for the election. I mean, they've 200 members as of this morning. So,
well, I hadn't heard of in regards to them putting somebody forward for Midlands Northwest. So, as I said, that's news to me, and obviously, I wish any candidate puts their head up above the parapet and is willing to put their own ballot paper.
I
do think, though, that there's one thing we should note, and I've just noticed primarily, is most of their elected reps are on the Western Seaboard. And I know I've been in here talking before about regional balance, but I think that it's another voice that's pointing out obvious.
I would say that Fine Gael and our predecessor party, Cumann na Gael, have been here since the foundation of the state, founded the state. So I think, you know, parties come and go, and I wish the Irish Independent Party the best of luck as well.
And change in their John, have you any thoughts on that?
Well, I suppose there's a lot of we've mentioned there about the Western Seaboard as well, and there was a lot made that there was no senior cabinet minister on the Western Seaboard for a lot of this government as well. But I suppose a lot of the issues that they are complaining and giving out about, and I know that the leader of Independent Ireland, indeed Michael Collins, is on RT Morning Ireland about Simon Harris becoming the new Taoiseach, and he wants their party to speak with them and engage in a number of issues. But agriculture is the big one for them. That's really, they're looking for the rural agricultural vote. They're also hitting out a number of other issues that actually transcends rural and agricultural areas and goes into the rural towns and villages as well. The likes of restaurants, and they've mentioned they want the VAT rate back up to 13% from the 9% to 13% for the hospitality sector. And they also, immigration is a big one with them as well. He said that there needs to be a change to immigration policy because we can't have people coming into this country that are living in tents. So we know, we've heard from...
Yeah, but it's, and that's one good analogy, but I mean, they are running people in the European elections in Dublin, so they are...
Mm.
And
there's a lot of speculation that Deputy Michael Fitzmaurice may run in this constituency. Now, it's speculation at the moment, but we know his profile and that, so it'd be interesting to see if he does actually end up running in this constituency.
Okay. Can I change all that? I just want to go around the table in relation to Gaza. What's Sinn Féin's take, MEP Chris McManus, on the horrible situation that is in Gaza currently, and what Hamas did was wrong, and then maybe what Israel has done as well?
Absolutely, and I'm on record in regards to saying that what happened on October the 7th by Hamas was reprehensible and should not have happened. I've also said quite clearly that hostages should be released, but I think that what's happened since then in regards to the Israeli onslaught in Gaza is what we see unfolding before our eyes in real life time, and it sickens us. And like, I have since October been calling within the European Parliament for an immediate ceasefire, and it's taken quite some time and a number of months for at last a majority
of
the
Parliament. Will we ever get one?
Well, we'll be able to get one. You know, the understanding is that obviously there's negotiations ongoing at this minute. But as I said, for obvious reasons, the depth and how far they're progressing is we do not know. But I think, you know, we in Ireland need to start taking, while we've shown solidarity and as a people we're broadly pro-Palestinian in outlook in terms of their right to their self-determination, there are a number of things we need to actually start at a governmental level, beginning that process of recognising the state of Palestine.
Sean, where I mean, the situation every night, looking at the news, 9 o'clock news, and the photographs coming in and the videos coming in, how much more loss of life do we have to see?
I think it's cruel. It's absolutely horrific, the scenes that are there, as was, of course, the attack by Hamas. I think Leo Varadkar and Micheál Martin have shown huge leadership on this issue from an Irish point of view since the very start. There have been a few other European leaders, like the Prime Minister of Spain and others, that have also been proactive in trying to get an agreed response, which has now been achieved through the European Council with the 27 leaders, which is basically what the Irish position from the start, which is basically to recognise a two-state solution, to an end to the expansion of illegal settlements, release of hostages, access to humanitarian aid, a call for a ceasefire, condemning Hamas's actions. So that's welcome, and I welcome and I acknowledge Leo Varadkar's role in securing that as well, and, you know, pushing for that over a long period of time. And he has obviously raised that in the White House. He's been condemned for going there, but he raised these things with Joe Biden at the White House, made it quite clear his stance and the similarities in his view between
Ireland. But Israel are still militant that they continue until they eradicate Hamas at whatever price that is. They're going to stay at it.
Those are the views and the words of Benjamin Netanyahu. He's been quite clear that whatever happens, he will inflict damage on Gaza to ensure that it won't be able to do something like this again.
But it's not.
It's cruel. It's inhumane. What is going on is to be condemned. And we have, as I said, as a state, as a country, we've shown leadership, and we have gotten that through to the European Council as well.
Finally to you, John, last word.
I think it seems like the pressure of the international community has finally come to bear on the United States. They have held that veto on the UN Security Council. Now they're looking to see if we can enter into this six-week pause and a ceasefire with immediate effect to try and deal with the hostage situation, and also, I suppose, to get humanitarian aid and get people out of the conflict area as well. So I think it's a positive step. Just some breaking news, Keith, and we won't discuss it just for legal reasons on the programme in any detail, but I can tell you that two men in their 50s have been arrested in connection with the Garda investigation into the tragedy in which 10 people died in Chrysla in County Donegal. The arrests were made this morning in the ongoing investigation into the explosion at the service station and apartment building on the 7th of October 2022. The two men were arrested for alleged offences contrary to the Non-Fatal Offences Against the Person Act 1997. They are currently being detained under the provisions of Section 4 of the Criminal Justice Act at separate Garda stations in Donegal and can be held for up to 24 hours. That's some breaking news coming in there.
All right. Chris, thank you indeed for joining us today. Sean, thank you for joining us. John, thank you for joining us. We'll have a look at sport next. We're back just after these. Now, from politics to sport, well, sport nearly is politics as well, but Oliver joins me in studio today. Morning to you.
You're linking the two very quickly there.
Haven't I? Just listen, great excitement altogether in Dunmore and Clifton this weekend.
And why shouldn't there be? It's the Connacht Junior Cup final. It's a tournament with massive history, a century of endeavour, and clubs coming from all over the province trying to win the Blue Ribbon event in junior rugby. And in many sense, it's given parishes great chance to celebrate. Sure, you know, it's been dominated by a number of clubs over the years. Corinthians have won it 14 times, but they haven't won it in a long time. They've topped the pile. UCG are there as well, second in the roll of honour. But Connemara are really the aristocrats in the last couple of decades. They won their first title in 1995. Now, they've won five of these junior cups. It feels like they've won an awful lot more because, of course, there was that great period as well, going back a couple of decades ago, where they were in the All-Ireland League and they were the real poster boys for rugby in the West. But they're still the team to beat when it comes to junior rugby. Albeit, they lost in an unbelievable league final to Craigs. They were touted as the two best teams by some distance in the province. And if they were kept apart in the semi-final draw, many felt they would be in the final. But they weren't. And the point is that Connemara are now in the final against a Dunmore pack team who have come through as a bit of a surprise package. But as Michael Corliss tells us, the part of the coaching staff, that they've been building for the last couple of years.
We've been building for trying to get here for so long, and it's happening. It's here. We're playing next Sunday at 3:30. It's great excitement around the place, and just hopefully we stick to our game plan, and hopefully come 5:30 in the evening, we'll be coming home with a cup.
What's your call on?
Well, Connemara are obvious favourites, and rightfully so. But it's on the 4G pitch, so it's an all-weather surface in the sports ground. Dunmore would play their near neighbours, Craigs, recently in a similar surface. Mm-hmm. And so they've got a bit of experience of that. And it might just suit the underdogs. Now, it would be a big shock if Dunmore were to win. But I'm just telling you, Dunmore are going to bring a massive support. There is nobody going to be left behind in Dunmore. Connemara are obviously going to bring a big support as well, because they'll be fancying their chances. So you've got these two communities coming in from the outer reaches of Galway County, all to converge on the sports ground now known as Dexcom Stadium. I think the atmosphere will be electric. The plate final is on beforehand. We'll have that for you as well live on Galway Bay FM. But come 3:30, it will be electric, the atmosphere. At that stage, the Galway football game against Kerry will have finished, and we'll be going straight to the sports ground for live coverage of that game. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Killy Games, by the way.
Yeah, so apparently we'll have team news from that Galway football camp tonight at 8 o'clock. They're playing Kerry. It's a match that shouldn't matter to Galway unless Roscommon upset the apple cart and go up and beat Mickey Hart's Derry in Derry on Sunday. So if that were to happen, then there would be a little bit of panic. Of course, it's not the end of the world if Galway drop down to Division 2, because it has become apparent that they're focused very much on the championship, which is only 2 weeks away. As we mentioned, tickets went on sale for Galway and Ryslip, London this morning. So that match in Ryslip is a couple of weeks away. And so I suppose Galway will know what their focus is after that. But, you know, I'm sure they would prefer to be in Division 1, and it would take sequence of results, Roscommon to win in Derry and Galway to lose in Kerry, for that to happen. But either way, we'll find out if any of the injury problems from Galway have eased somewhat tonight when we hear the team that's announced to go to Killarney on Sunday. I know a lot of people are heading down to make a weekend of it.
Yeah, your hairdresser
Val, is he going down?
Val is going down with his wife.
And of course, you've got the double header, because the Galway ladies are playing Kerry afterwards. So there's double reason to go. And I'm sure a lot of people are going to go down, stay the Saturday night if they can, because I know Killarney is quite busy this weekend with Irish Dancing World Championships. Mm. So a lot of hotel rooms. Now, the only is, every second building in Killarney is a hotel.
Yeah.
So there's plenty of hotel rooms if you go looking for it.
Val is it all booked. Listen, come here to me, Darts again, the world champion.
Yeah, Luke it was on last night in the Three Arena, and Luke Humphreys won. It was his third victory of the Premier League season. So, in fairness to him, he definitely is cementing his position as the top player in the world at the moment in darts. It's funny how these things fluctuate. Like Van Gerwen looked untouchable a couple of weeks ago when he won, I think, like three of the first five rounds of the Premier League. But Humphreys is having his say very much now, and he's gone clear at the top of the table. So it looks like at the moment it's all heading towards a Humphreys-Van Gerwen Premier League final. But it's just great excitement. It's a session, isn't it? Thursday night at the darts.
Coming to be soccer, it's a big weekend indeed in soccer as well. And
for the Republic especially, and for John O'Shea, because they're playing Belgium in a friendly tomorrow. And I suppose it's a shop window for an awful lot of players to try and impress the new manager, who we suspect is well in place and in situ at the moment.
It's a friendly, is it, tomorrow?
It's a friendly tomorrow against Belgium, and then next week against Switzerland, both in the Aviva. By the way, looking at the Irish team, the underage at the moment, the under-21s, they're away to San Marino in a Euro qualifier. That's on this evening at 5 o'clock. So we'll keep an eye on the next generation. No Galway United tonight, Keith. They're not playing this weekend. They're out next Friday night when they go to Derry.
Good on you. Now, golf-wise, how are we looking?
Shane Lowry, 2 under par, slipped back a little bit at the Singapore Open. So he's now 7 shots off the pace. Tom McKibben will miss the cut. Seamus Power is going okay at the Valspar Championship. He's on 3 under par. It's a difficult enough tournament and course. Kevin Streelman leads on 7 under par. So if Power can hang around and go under par again today, he'll be well set for the weekend and for a big payday. Of course, we mentioned as well that locally in Gaelic games, we've got the Division 1 Football League game between Corrifin and Killannon. That's tonight in Corrifin at 8 o'clock. And we've got the Galway Camogie team against Waterford tomorrow. That's the first of our live games at 2 o'clock tomorrow, live from Loughrea. So plenty of live action to look forward to.
I was looking at the schedule last night when I saw the email coming in, and it really is a very busy weekend.
Basketball tomorrow night. We're up in Calasanctus for live coverage on the Galway FM website of Mary and Sligo in the quarterfinals of the Super League. So good luck to the Mary men as they bid to try and get through to the last four of the league. They won the South Conference, so they'll be fancying their chances at home to Sligo All-Stars. That's, I think that's 7 o'clock tomorrow evening that we'll be live with that game. Of course, live rugby at 5.15 tomorrow, Connacht and the Lions. That Connacht team will be announced in the next couple of minutes, so we'll tell you the story on our 12 o'clock sports heads as well. That's
that?
Here in the sports ground as well, in Dexcom Stadium.
In the Dexcom.
So there's a lot happening in Galway, yeah. So they've got the Connacht match tomorrow, and then on Sunday they've got the two rugby finals, the junior plate and cup finals. So, yeah, great
and
weekend.
I passed by during the week, there's a massive, the construction work there is massive.
A lot going on, isn't there? Well, I'm glad that the 4G surface is down, because the way the weather has been, you'd really struggle to get three matches on the old grass pitch, wouldn't you? The way things were.
It should be in some condition now.
Yeah, it'll be well cut up for the cup final anyway.
And how do you think Connacht will do?
Connacht will fancy their chances at home to the Lions. I'm sure they will. They need to, because they're 4 points clear of the Lions at the moment in the table. They're in seventh, so the top eight is the key place to be. So Connacht need to win all their home games from here to the finish just to make sure they get into the business end. Remember, they got to the semi-finals last year. Be a great achievement to do that as well. And of course, they got Pau. They've got that trip to France to come as well next week in the European Challenge Cup last 16. So I'm sure they'd be interested in keeping, you know, their fire's burning there as well in the European competition.
It really is. I mean, this weekend is just going to be chock-a-block, so does Oliver. So, you're streaming some, I know, and you're broadcasting.
Yes, we're streaming the basketball tomorrow. On Sunday, then, there's a clash between the Connacht Junior Cup final and the ladies, so we'll be jockeying over and back on FM. But if you want to hear full coverage of the ladies' football, Galway Kerry, that's going to be on our website with full uninterrupted coverage. Tommy Devan and Caitlin Hayes is joining us, a new voice on Galway Bay FM this weekend. Looking forward to hearing Caitlin and Tommy on the Galway Kerry match. Galway have another match to play then against Waterford to wrap up their league, so they need to win one or both of those games just to stay in Division 1 as well. So it's amazing how the women and men seem to be on the same trajectory in terms of their league performances this year. But as you say, on FM then we'll have the men's match, Galway and Kerry, live at the start for Sunday afternoon sports show, and the Camogie is live tomorrow from 2. So keep it here to Galway FM.
All right, Oliver, have a good and a safe weekend, and thank you for joining us today on the programme. Now, on Monday morning, we're looking at a number of issues. Participants living with early to middle stage dementia in County Galway are required to take part in a university research. We'll be asking you to do that. Safe Home Ireland, indeed, have a seminar and a strategic plan. We're looking at an economic symposium taking place in Carna as well. And we're also looking at the reassignment of divorce, judicial separation and cohabitation proceedings to the district court will add further delays to the A&E of the court system as well. Galway greats are Margaret and Tom Duggan from Renmore. And we'll have our sports review as well with the team from there as to how the weekend went. But that is it for today. We're back with you on back to you Monday morning just after 9 o'clock news. And don't forget, the best of Galway Talks goes out tomorrow morning between 7 and 8 and Sunday morning between 7 and 8. Again, featuring some of our more interesting and controversial guests that we may have had during the week. Thank you to John Morley, who produced. Thank you to Fiona, who took all of your calls in reception as well. But from yours truly, Keith Finnegan, have a good and a safe weekend, whatever you're up to at the weekend, and do enjoy it. And hopefully the weather will stay pleasant. We shall talk to you on Monday morning, just after 9 o'clock. Goodbye.